Here we go. Yay. The transition from Jensen to Hainsey, while I won't say it's been a disaster, I think that's totally overstating it. It has hurt, and I think it's hurt badly. Hey, can I get a beer over here?
Buccaneers fans, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is back. The first of two episodes this week, the Ira Kaufman Podcast with Ira Kaufman, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And Sage, all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, where you get a nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles, Ira. Did you realize that, Ira? Your 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape has a nationwide lifetime warranty on it. Do you realize that?
Well, I realize it because I believe my son just purchased an F-150 from Mr. Sean Sullivan, and he got that warranty, so it's all good.
So that means, Ira, when you were just in Cleveland, and who the hell vacations in Cleveland except for the Sage, the Sage goes to Cleveland, and if your car broke down, you would have been just fine getting it taken care of there. Bill Curry Ford, Ira, GM Sean Sullivan, he's made it so easy to order a new vehicle, and he's giving you a $500 gift card just to do it. No deposit required. All the information, all the inventory can be seen at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. No excuses. Get there. Shop there first. Sage, the menu is going to be coming out late tonight. Wednesday night, Ira, for our get-together for the Buccaneers game, breakfast at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater for the Germany game. 9:30 kickoff, come on out, 8:45 or so. It's going to be a great time, Sage. November 13th, Bucks against the Seahawks. It could be the end of the season. It could be the spark that gets them to 5-5 before the bye week and has Bucks fans putting their jerseys back on when they go to Publix. But it's going to be fun, Ira. Big Storm Beer is America's best craft beer. I've jacked it up from Florida's best craft beer to America's best craft beer, brewed locally, tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road on 49th Street, and in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Put it in your favorites. That's your first phone call when you have a disaster in your home, mold, fire, water, storm damage, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, crazy weekend in the NFL. The Bucs now sit in second place behind the Falcons, something none of us would have said 2 months ago, let alone 1 month ago, after they beat the Falcons. And there are a lot of doubters out there, Ira. There's still a lot of people who believe that Tom Brady will find a way. I don't know. I wanted to ask you right out of the gate, where do you fall, Ira? Are you in the camp that says Tom Brady is the ultimate and he will dig his way out of this and inspire and get it done? Or are you in the camp that says if he could have, he would have, certainly would have done it last week, and there's something very wrong? Where do you sit?
Stevie, I'm in the camp that says this is not the Tom Brady that we're so familiar with, that Buck fans have loved for the previous two seasons. Lee, he's not the same guy. He's just not. He's beaten down. He's human. All the things swirling around him, and there's plenty, have affected him. No Gronkowski has affected him. Three new starters on the interior of the O-line has affected him. He's not the same guy, Lee. Physically, I think he's fine. He can still throw a tight spiral. He makes three or four passes a game where you say, geez, he hasn't lost a thing. But then he's throwing balls into the ground. He's just a little bit off on the communication, is off with some of the receivers. He's not the same guy, Lee, and I don't think it's going to get much better, personally. I just don't. Lee, now, I think it's a misconception that the Bucs sat on their hands at the trade deadline. Lee, they made a bold move. They waived Fred Johnson. Let's not, they were very dynamic. Jason Light got on the phone and said, you're out of here, Fred Johnson. Let's move on. So, Lee, I just don't have a lot of confidence in this team or this quarterback at this point. It would be the ultimate Brady move to lead this team to a 10-7 record at this point. I just don't see it happening, Lee. I don't think he's the same guy.
I know you're more into mentality than I am. I think that's all BS. Either that or I had one hell of a high school football coach who very simply trained us how to focus on football. You just don't pay attention to the other crap. I think the problem is Mr. Leftwich, not Brady. I see what you're saying about the passes into the ground. I liken that more to Bill Parcells than Tom Brady's losing it. And what I mean by that is Bill Parcells was really big into coaching up his quarterbacks, throw low. Because if you throw high, more of a chance for a tip pass equals a pick. We all know who Brady's coach was in New England. We all know who he came up with, Parcells. So I think that's just football fundamentals. I lean more into the Leftwich for a variety of reasons. One, he hasn't figured out how to work with these new offensive linemen. That's clear as day, and he's not going to figure it out. If he could figure it out, he would have done so by now. Number two, Doug Farrar did a deep dive on the Bucs receivers. And he wrote, the problem isn't Brady. The problem is the Bucs receivers, Evans and Godwin. And I know Ira right away, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Farrar said it's pretty clear on film, these guys aren't getting separation. Next gen stats back up Farrar. And Farrar wrote, why doesn't Leftwich do like picks and various other things you could do to create separation? Leftwich doesn't do that. Other coaches do. So now, does he miss Gronkowski? Absolutely. But the main culprit is a guy who should have been fired weeks ago, Byron Leftwich.
Lee, in terms of Brady dealing with things, I didn't mean dealing with outside noise and U.S. Weekly and Glass.
What
the New York Post is talking about. We have to acknowledge, Lee, and it's no longer a rumor, going through a divorce during a season with kids involved. Lee, I mean, let's face it. Brady, in the end, is a human being with all the emotions and turbulence that he's going through. It has to have some effect. Lee, he's getting divorced.
Didn't Joe Montana go through that too? Boy, he got a divorce when he was playing and married a young thing, which is his current wife still.
Well, I don't know, maybe Testa Verde or something, but something's off with Brady, Steve. He's got 9 touchdown passes, you know, in 8 weeks. That ain't Brady, and I can't blame it all on little Russell Gage. I can't.
But you gotta think about this. If Brady is that rattled, how come he only has 1 pick?
Lee, you're right. He's thrown 1 interception in 340 pass attempts. That is fantastic. I think at this point, he's a little too worried about throwing picks, and I think it's hurting him overall. Lee, I'll agree with you on one point. He's got to take over the offense. Brady has to take over the offense.
I agree.
Overrule Leftwich when he wants, and I don't think Bowles and Jason Light will have one bit of a problem with it.
Agreed.
What they're doing, Steve, it's just not working.
Well, that's...
You hit the nail on the head. Brady should just put his foot down like, I'm taking this over. This is nonsense. You don't like it? Go talk to Joel Glazer.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know if that's happened already. That's the scary part. We just don't know if that happened last game and it didn't work. So it leads us to this week's game. Ira, just on a sideline, that Brady's 9 touchdowns and 1 pick. That's not him. Matthew Stafford has, I believe, 7 touchdowns and 8 picks. I mean, which is one of the worst situations in the league, which answers your question you've been asking all week. How are the Bucs favored in this game? It's because the Rams are that bad. Sage,
Ira said something very interesting, and I don't mean to create panic in the streets when I say this, but Ira, you mentioned that you thought perhaps Brady is too worried about throwing a pick. That's very interesting because Bruce Arians said that about another quarterback.
It couldn't have been Jameis Winston.
It was Jameis Winston.
Oh, boy.
When he first took over the Bucs.
30 interceptions later, Lee, that didn't happen.
Well, first, to Brady, of course, probably should have another couple of picks. You know, he's the luck has been on his side as far as drop picks and things like that. He did overthrow Mike Evans in the end zone in this last game. It got overlooked, but Evans was wide open, and he threw it maybe a few inches too high. And really nobody too close to Evans, and it didn't work. I think Evans caught it, and it got his feet out of bounds. It's just not been the same, Ira. I don't know. I fall in the camp that Brady will find a way to dig them out of this because of now what that really means or looks like. I don't know if that makes them an 8-win team that wins the division on a tiebreaker and gets hammered in the playoffs. I don't know what that solves, but I do think they'll get out of it. One thing that that ties to this that Todd Bowles said on his radio show this week, Ira, he was asked about Chris Godwin, who had a 44-yard gain against the Ravens with some nice yak. And Bowles very interestingly said it showed that he's close to being 100%. Bowles said, referring to Godwin, quote, shows the strides he made since the season began. So hopefully that will continue to open up and will open up our offense. And that got me wondering, well, yes, Godwin has looked pretty good and is on the field, but maybe they're sort of afraid to use him or afraid to open him up and open up the offense to the way it used to look. I don't know what's going on there, but it was. What do you make of that comment by Bowles?
Well, I think it goes back to something that we all agreed on a month ago, is that Godwin was still not fully recovered from a very serious injury. Lee, he was healthy enough to play, and God bless him. I'm glad he was out there because he's better than the alternative, Lee, at 80%, certainly. But he's averaging 10.5 yards a catch. That's not the old Godwin. 63% catch percentage. Godwin's usually above 70%, Lee. It's one of his strengths. Catches whatever you throw at him. But he's getting better. And I think that is, you know, I don't think there's a lot of room for optimism that they're going to turn this thing around. But I think you can make a credible case, Lee. Godwin's going to continue to get better and healthier as the season goes on. And I think that will help with those 6-yard completions that Brady seems to be masterful at the moment.
Got mold in your house, Ira, a flood under the sink, water damage, storm damage, whatever it may be, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. You'll get their free assessment. And if you tell them that Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman, is where you heard about them, you're going to get a $500 discount. Maybe that's cash you get back to use toward your insurance deductible, or it's just money you get back on some restoration work that you pay for cash. They are locally owned. We know them, Ira. You know where to find them.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
And Sage, they're honest, they're trustworthy. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience in the insurance industry as an adjuster, and he passes that experience on to you, knowing how to work with the insurance companies, knowing how to make sure you don't get ripped off, knowing how you are going to be protected, and they do great work. Florida's Elite Restoration, call them up, you'll get the free assessment. Let them know you heard about it. Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman. And before you agree to go ahead and do the work, if you even need the work done, you're going to let them know, and that's how you get your $500 back. Florida's Elite Restoration. Get to the website, learn about them, understand what they do, and mark it down, bookmark it, so you call them 24/7 when that problem arises, or even right now, if you've got something you've been putting off, get it done.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Yeah, I want your feedback on this. Robert Haynes, with the Packers game, the Bucks had, was it fourth and goal? And Hainsey got a penalty, or Hainsey didn't snap it in time. They got to delay a game, right? People are thinking it was Hainsey not snapping it in time. Well, against Baltimore, the Bucs had fourth and goal, I believe, late in the game. And officially, Leonard Fournette got slapped with the legal procedure. Sean O'Hara, used to be an offensive lineman for the Giants, works for NFL Network periodically. Last week, he said that, he goes, if you watch the replays, he goes, Hainsey never snapped the ball. He goes, all the players took off, Hainsey never snapped the ball. So he fingered Hainsey for the culprit. He goes, they gave it to Fournette because Fournette was the first one the referees noticed that moved. And I just think that just goes to show how little things like inexperience, maybe he's not, you know, he's not Ryan Jensen in the sense that he's not mind melding. He's not on the same page with Brady. He's not with Brady, so to speak, one-on-one. And that's reared its ugly head in very bad timing.
I can't disagree, Lee. Look, the move from Jensen, you know, and it's not anything the Bucks wanted to do, but it happened the second day of training camp. Steve, the transition from Jensen to Hainsey, while I won't say it's been a disaster, I think that's totally overstating it. It has hurt, and I think it's hurt badly. Doesn't mean Hainsey's a bum. Doesn't mean Hainsey won't be the guy in a couple of years if Jensen moves on or retires or goes to another team, Steve. But it's been a drop-off. and I think a significant one. Jensen is the motor up front in terms of physicality. Mm-hmm. He has been. He has been the last couple of years. His first year in Tampa, we were a little disappointed in Jensen. And then he picked it up. Once Brady arrived, he really picked it up. And he sets the tone up front, and Hainsey doesn't do that. You know, Hainsey might have nice technique, but he's just not overly physical. Steve, I go back to that quarterback sneak with Brady. They tried one. Leftwich finally listened to me, Steve, my pleadings. And Lee, you remember the play very well. There was nothing there.
Nothing Brady, there, no push
Brady
at all.
Brady had absolutely nowhere to go, and he tried to run up Hainsey's butt and smashed into his butt instead of smashing over the half yard that he needed. Those plays hurt, Steve. They hurt. And I think it's a big reason why they struggled so much on third and short, fourth and short. I'm not killing Hainsey, Steve, but he ain't no Ryan Jensen.
Ira, is it fair to say the Bucs thought they could have got away with Getke at left guard, assuming that Getke was going to get that? There's some speculation out there that Hainsey was going to be your starting left guard. But had Jensen not got hurt, is it fair to say the Bucs thought that having a rookie guard in between Jensen and Donovan Smith, I'm not saying they could hide Getke, but to get away with it? Well, you take Jensen out of the equation, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got a big hole.
That's absolutely right. I think there's a good chance Hainsey would have won the left guard job. He was in the mix. They like Hainsey. They were no rush to move Getke in at left guard. No rush to move a rookie in to a team with championship aspirations. Steve, I think Hainsey had a good chance to win that left guard job. And then you got Jensen and Smith bookending Hainsey, a second-year player. And I think the Bucs would have been very comfortable with that. That Jensen injury has set them back, and it triggered a chain of events which has resulted in where we stand right now. A 3-5 team, Steve, averaging 18 points a game that can't go convert on the short situations. They're lousy on third down. And it's really been a travesty.
Well, hold on, Ira. I got to disagree with you, or I got to ask you what the hell you're talking about as it relates to Jason Light. First, I think we're forgetting about Aaron Stinney here, and I haven't forgotten about him. He may very well have gotten the job. I don't really think I don't really think Hainsey was in the mix for the job. And if you're going to tell me that Luke Getke, they were happy to put him on the bench, that would have been just fine. What the hell are you doing with an all-in roster, Tom Brady all-in, using a second-round pick on a guy you expect to just ride the bench all year when you could have gotten an impact-type player, or at least somebody on the field, maybe a skill position guy, whatever it might be, in the second round? That's insane. Do you really believe Jason Light didn't want Getke to win the job, that he was going to park another second-round pick on the bench?
They picked Getke after Mark Pett had already retired, and they had a huge vacancy at left guard, and they wanted the most competition they could get. Ultimately, it wasn't Jason Light's decision who was going to win the left guard job, unless this franchise is totally messed up. It was up to Todd Bowles and his position coach. And what's wrong with having Getke compete? But there's no reason, Steve. Getke had to start as a rookie. Absolutely no reason.
Well, I agree with you that the competition is good, but if they didn't really peg Getke to start in that role, then they screwed up in the draft in an all-in season when you could have gotten a lot of different players with that second-round pick. But we'll leave that alone, Sage, because I want to go stick to with the left guard, because Nick Leverett made his first start, and there were a couple of interesting comments from Ali Marpet and one from Todd Bowles on his radio show. Marpet really spoke out, saying, you know, it was unbelievable to him that Nick Leverett, in his first NFL start, showed absolutely no nerves, had a ton of energy, was leading with the energy, was loose, and was playing well and physical. And Marpet just made the case that guys don't do that in their first NFL start. Nobody's that loose and that relaxed and confident, and usually they're sweating their ass off and freaking out. And he thought that, you know, bodes very well for Leverett. And he also said Getke, they've been in constant contact, and that he's really been a mentor to Getke, and he's very impressed at the depth of Getke's hunger for football knowledge and for really intricate questions and things like that. But he said that what Getke's put on film, although while he's struggled, he said the high points of stuff he's put on film, that he has the strength that rookies don't usually have, that he can literally move guys and has that you just don't see that his ceiling is very high for being a rookie who's still going to be getting stronger and developing. So file that away. But Todd Bowles, Ira, I miss most about Jensen. I've realized that nobody comes in and cleans up these piles anymore and is just, you know, pushing the pile ahead and just ferocious finishing to the whistle. You saw a little bit of it from Leverett, which really reminded me of Jensen, but you don't see it. And Todd Bowles called Leverett a breath of fresh air out there. Now, what does that mean? That's kind of a loaded statement when your third string guard comes in, gets a start, and he's a breath of fresh air. How stale is the air out there?
Before I throw a parade for Nick Leverett, Lee, before I do that, can you run for more than 44 yards, Lee? Can you? can you average more than 3 yards a carry, Lee? Can you? It ain't Tristan Wirfs' problem up front. The guy's a monster. He's playing as well as he ever had, which means he might be the best offensive lineman. Forget about tackle. He might be the best offensive lineman in the freaking league. That's how good he is. The right guard's playing fine. Left tackle's playing okay. Here's their rushing totals, Lee. Here we go. Since week one, here we go. 72, 34, 3, 69, 75, 46, and 44. Now, a lot of people say, well, they never run the ball. They never run. Lee, how are you going to run the ball if you get 3 yards a carry? You know, it's working against you. So let's not go crazy about how good the left guard position has been. They can't run the ball, Lee. There's no holes.
For reference, for the people who always bellyache about the offensive line, like the offensive line is at fault for everything from global warming to vaccines.
Inflation.
The Bucs. With Anthony Collins, Garrett Whoops-Gilkey, O'Neal Cousins, and Molly Hamster had a better rushing attack than the Bucs have now with an all-pro right tackle, a good left tackle, a good right guard, and a number four overall draft pick in the backfield.
Yeah. Ira, is it fair to say that maybe you're overestimating Tristan Wirfs? Maybe everybody's overestimating Shaq Mason. I mean, how is it possible? Let's say I'm driving down the road in my Bill Curry Ford truck, and I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm heading to Big Storm Brewery, and I'm listening to Ira tell me that Tristan Wirfs is the best right tackle, maybe the best tackle in the NFL, and Shaq Mason is an established, healthy veteran who nobody has a bad word to say. Why can't the Bucs run right? Why? Why am I supposed to believe that these guys are so good if they just can't hand the ball off and run right, whether they're using a fullback as well or they're trying to get the most out of one of these tight ends to seal the edge a little bit and to block down? What's going on? Is it Leftwich completely?
In the words of Lee DeKemper, see, they don't run right often enough. In my book, they don't. I don't know the exact stats, but I think they've run left more than they've run right. I don't understand it.
I know.
Now, look, they've had Gronkowski off Wirfs' right shoulder, and that helps quite a bit. It does. But they got a tight end that can block. If they want to, they can put him in there.
Josh Wells?
No. A tight end, a rookie tight end.
He's an okay blocker. I wouldn't.
I'm talking about
Cokeith. Cokeith, you're right. Cokeith, yeah.
So nobody is going to tell me that Tristan Wirfs isn't great. He's a fantastic football player. Maybe he's a little better in pass blocking than he is in run blocking. I'll give you that, because the guy never gets beat for a sack. It just doesn't happen.
I'm not looking for it, Ira. Don't give it to me. I don't want it. I just want to know why they can't run the damn ball 4.5 yards to the right side.
Byron Leftwich was asked that one time, 2 weeks ago, I think, at a press conference. Why don't you run right where you got Shaq Mason and Tristan Wirfs? And typical Byron Leftwich, his answer was, I could sum it up in one word, gibberish.
I think you would say, well, we do what we think will give us the best chance to win. Lee, I'm tired
of that. Yeah, that's the stock answer.
All right, Ira, before we talk about Todd Bowles and the flaming hot seat he's sitting on, and whether you agree with that or not, this is Bowles on his second half run defense on Thursday. Quote, we misfit some things in the second half and we took some bad angles. And the tackling was shoddy. We understand we got to get a lot better at tackling. In the first half, it was good. In the second half, it wasn't as much. What are we supposed to do with that?
I'll tell you what you do with it, Steve. You have Todd Bowles sit down with Derek Brooks, and I'll tell you why. Because on our show a week or two ago, Lee, I asked Brooks directly, why is scoring down across the league? Why? Lee, the first thing that he said was tackling is much better than it was early in the season. Brooks explained that the first 3 weeks, tackling's lousy across the league because a lot of guys didn't play in the preseason and they're getting used to the speed of an NFL game. And he said, like, around week 3 or 4 and extending through week 10 or 11, that's the sweet spot for tackling. Lee, does this look like a sweet spot for Devin White? Does it? I see a sour ball. I don't see a sweet spot. So, Steve, for Bowles to say they didn't tackle well in the second half, you know, of the game last week, what the hell's going on? I mean, you're in midseason. You should be in midseason form. Lee, there's always some kind of answer, some kind of pablum answer that's totally unacceptable to Buck Nation. And I'll throw that one on top of the pile. We missed some tackles. We took some bad angles. Why, Lee? Why in week 8 are you doing that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Warren Sapp last week or so, but he's been very outspoken on Instagram and another podcast about the Bucs defense. And his words, not mine, Devin White needs the C ripped off his jersey.
Yeah, boy. Oh boy, you know, now Lee, we asked Bowles about Devin White, and again, he doesn't really want to address the individual that's struggling. He doesn't. So he talks about how, well, it's an 11-man unit. Steve, I need Todd Bowles to call out Devin White and say he needs to play a lot better.
I'm glad you brought that up, Ira. Also on the Buccaneers Radio Network, Casey Rogers was there talking about, oh gosh, they put so much on Devin White's plate, and he does a great job with it. And a quote, Ira, from Todd Bowles just this week regarding Thursday's game: we were good with Devin's game. Yeah, they're good with it. He's playing fine. He could play better, but he's playing good ball.
He's a defensive leader. He's a defensive leader, and he's not playing good ball. No, he's not. And I know he got the award in September. That seems like eons ago. That seems like 6 months ago, September. September, the Bucs were 2-0 on the morning of September 19th. Nice. They played very good defense. Nice. But, Lee, the last 3 weeks, the second half run defense, Lee, has been atrocious. Yeah, they're on the field too much. There's other factors, I understand. But, Lee, they're playing backup quarterbacks. Doesn't that help you a little bit?
You would think so, but yeah, let's confuse Lamar Jackson with a backup, but I see where you're going.
You know, as if Bowles didn't have enough on his plate with this anemic offense, now he's got to address some of these second-half defensive woes. Otherwise, it's going to be one hell of a long season.
I do think that was a major factor Thursday night, that fatigue set in with the defense. I absolutely buy that. Forget the fact that you know, the offense kept going 3-and-out. They're chasing around Lamar Jackson. Right. Yeah, I mean, that would wear down a defense. I don't care how good your offense is. That would wear down a defense. Is it fair to say, Ira, that right now, without Antoine Winfield, without Hicks, with Vita Vea up and down, with Devin White loafing, and I'm sorry if Devin White gets mad, the eye in the sky doesn't lie, as Dan Rather once said. Is it fair to say the Bucs' interior defense is soft?
Seems that way, Lee. You know, Joe Tryon has never proved anything in terms of run defense. Nothing. Lavonte David's dependable. They missed Winfield last week. He's a form tackler. Might be the best tackler on the team, certainly next to Lavonte David. They've missed him. I think they missed Whitehead a little bit on run defense in the secondary. You know, he was very physical. He was. And he's helped the Jets. Hicks, I don't know that Hicks is a run stuffer, Steve. I don't know that.
Ira, I don't know if the guy can sell popcorn. I mean, we haven't seen him. It's just not it's not the problem here. All right, wait, look, I got to ask.
Ira, Ian Beckles, someone asked Ian Beckles about Akeem Hicks, and Beckles said, I don't even know what his number is.
I will say this, Steve, in terms of Buck defense, I am very curious. On Sunday, late afternoon, I'll be there with Mr. DeKemper. And I am curious because this is a big opportunity. for Anthony Nelson. Steve, we've talked about him on the show in short bursts. The guy is impressive. He makes plays. He gets tackles for losses. He gets sacks. You notice the guy. Now, Lee, he might play 50 or 60 snaps instead of 15 or 20, and that can have an effect. But, you know, with Shaq going down, Lee, this is a big opportunity for Anthony Nelson.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Lee, I want to ask Lee this, Ira, because I'm going to give you a little extra time to think about the answer. Of course, you're right about Nelson. Shaq Barrett was the only edge rusher that they had that would scare offensive coordinators and that could regularly command a double team. So now they're going to have to see how that shakes out and if anybody who gets a double team can actually deal with it. But Lee, the trade deadline, Bucks did nothing. A lot of fans take that as throwing in the towel, no longer all in. They don't like it. They don't get it. I'm going to ask you, what does it mean? Should we even read anything into it other than, hey, they didn't see a deal they liked?
In my eyes, if they were actually throwing in the towel, they would have sold off some parts and start building up for the draft, because I don't care how much of a Bucks fan you are, the way things are going without Tom Brady as quarterback, we're looking at some very, very lean years in the very near future. So to me, if they're throwing in the towel, they would have sold off some players. They didn't do that. My guess is, just a guess, haven't spoken with anybody, they're thinking, I guess hoping to, that once they get healthy with Tom Brady, they could turn the corner, they could win a division with a 500 record, then all bets are off once you're in the playoffs. It's a hell of a lot of hope, and I don't believe in banking on hope, but it seems like the Bucks are doing just that.
I think Lee's right on it. You know, there were discussions that involved ownership in the past week. There were discussions, like the Glazers, what's going on? Should we make a move? Steve, I don't think there's one chance in the world, zero, that you can read that they're throwing in the towel because they got Brady. That can't happen. Steve, it cannot happen. They got Brady, and they're probably not going to have Brady ever again. So how can you not be all in? And I think the biggest factor of all, perhaps, what a crappy division they're in. Garbage. The Falcons. You know, what are the Falcons going to do? Maybe win 8 or 9 games? I mean, let's be honest. They've done a hell of a job right now. But with all of that, you know, they're still 4-4. Let's not go crazy. In this division, like Lee said, you could win the division maybe with 9 wins. And if you get hot going into the playoffs, you do a little damage. You got Brady. So, Steve, I think ultimately the conclusion was we got faith in the guys that we have. We got Brady. We'll get a little healthier. We're in a lousy division, and we'll take our chances with our first, you know, win the division, get a home playoff game, and then see what happens. And I guess some of the moves didn't make any sense. They didn't think it was necessarily an upgrade. Maybe the price was too high. Maybe in terms of a Bradley Chubb, there were other teams. You know, you got to beat out 3-4 teams, Steve, that were interested in Bradley Chubb. So, no, there's no chance in the world you should read into it that the Bucks are throwing up their hands on this season. Not a chance.
Ira's making me feel good. He agreed with something I said.
Yeah, Ira, you know what? I was actually going to agree with you. I think it all comes back to the division, that they probably sat around and said, you know what? We have enough to win the NFC South, and anything can change from there, and we don't need to give up assets. And if we get guys healthy, we'll take our chances with Brady and a healthier team. Got to agree with you there, but I got to bring up Bowles. Todd Bowles, Ira, we run our weekly confidence poll at joebucksfan.com. The answer is simple. Grade your confidence in Bowles. The answers are totally confident, very confident, confident, little confidence, or no confidence. I've never seen it this hard or this bad for a coach, even Dirk Cutter at the very end.
Wow.
730 votes, Ira. I only put the poll up for a couple hours because I don't want people voting twice. I like when people can see that the poll is closed, like they missed something, you know. So 730 votes, 49% have little confidence, 38% have no confidence, Ira. That is 88% of fans are not confident in Todd Bowles. And that's awful. Absolutely awful, Ira. How could the Glazers be confident in this guy? And where do you think the state of Bowles is right now?
Well, you know, I think it all goes back to one thing. I mean, really, I know it sounds simplistic, but I really do believe this. In terms of the poll and maybe the way the Glazers are looking at bowls after 8 weeks, I think it all goes back to Brady. If they had a young quarterback and they're 3-5, maybe the Glazers say, hey, we're building towards the future. That's not the case, Lee. You got Brady, the ultimate winner. Lee, there's nobody like him, and you're 3-5. So from a fan perspective, you're not getting the job done. And from an ownership perspective, well, wait a minute. He's 3-5 with Brady. What's he going to be next year without Brady? Brady's the key factor in all of this, Lee, because he triggers the expectations. And this is not, you know, 2014 with Lovie Smith. It's 2022 with Tom Brady, and that's what it's all about, Lee. 3-5 is in no way, absolutely no way, and I don't care how many injuries you're going to throw out there, in no way is it acceptable with Tom Brady under center. And so it goes to coaching.
Is it fair to say that part of the Glazers' evaluation of Todd Bowles would come after consulting with Brady?
I don't know. I don't know that they would do that. I don't know that they would do that. I think their main conduit is Jason Light, as it should be, to get his take. Lee, I'll say this. In his private conversations with the Glazers, I think Light is very honest about the coaching staff. Now, he's not going to share that publicly. First of all, he doesn't make a lot of public statements anyway. But in terms of where this team is right now, who knows what Light's telling the Glazers about the coaching staff, but I don't think he's throwing any bouquets at him right now.
Bowles has said this twice that I can recall, maybe more times publicly. He had assistant coaches in mind.
Right.
When he took over for Arians, it was way too late in the coaching cycle hiring cycle that he couldn't make the moves. If you're the Glazers, would you give him the benefit of the doubt, number one, say, hey, you know, the guy didn't even get a chance to get his own assistants in here? That's basically a polite way of me saying Leftwich is gone. You could argue, why is he not gone already? Fair question. But, you know, would the Glazers factor that into the equation? That, you know, here's a guy who never had a chance to hire his own assistants. Number two, and this is just nauseating to think about, that with Tom Brady, as we speak, the Bucs are on pace for a top 10 draft pick. If that happens, if you're the Bucs, if you're the Glazers, aren't you pretty much obligated to take a chance on a quarterback in the first round if you got a top 10 pick? Maybe make a play for C.J. Stroud? That's my second prong of the question. The third prong is Todd Bowles has already had two high draft picks to work with at quarterback. Both have been colossal busts. Do you trust Todd Bowles to develop a quarterback? Your thoughts, Ira.
All right, Lee, I'll take them in order. As far as the coaching staff, Steve, here's the way I look at it. At the end of the season, if things don't go well, I think Bowles will have to present the Glazers, Steve, at that point, with his plan for the 2023 coaching staff in an effort to keep his job. And he better come up with some big names, some intriguing names for the Glazers. There will have to be changes if they finish 7-10 or even 8-9 and go nowhere, even if they make the playoffs at 8-9 and get bounced. To save his job, Steve, I think Bowles has to have a very distinct and impressive off-season plan to present to the Glazers on January 4th. He has to. Number two, top 10 pick. I brought this up, Lee. You couldn't believe I brought this up last week. I said in terms of the post-Brady future, things might change markedly. No, nobody thought the Bucs could have a top 10 pick. Nobody. Why should we? Brady's the ultimate.
Ira, I'm gonna bang my head against the wall. I've been kicking the wall. I'm going to bang my head against the wall.
Wait a minute. You're not going to let me finish over here, is it?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ira.
You can unload on him.
Go ahead. I'm going to mute myself. Go ahead.
All right, I'll make it quick. So the scenario, all right, top 10 pick. They finish, 6-11. It's unlikely, but it's possible. Yes. Answer, yes. Got to draft a quarterback. Got to find a way to get a quarterback. Again, Brady's successor is not on the roster. I've been saying it for 2 years. I'll continue to say it. Got to get a quarterback. Got to get somebody to get this fan base excited in a post-Brady era. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at 41,000 people at Raymond James Stadium as early as next season. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And as far as being, can Bowles groom a rookie quarterback? No. And he's not even going to try. Again, that's where he has to come up with some new coaches to intrigue the Glazers to keep his job. And Steve, before you put the hammer down, even that might not be enough. It might not be enough, Steve. They finish 7-10. There's a chance Bowles doesn't get to year two. Yes, there's a chance.
Ira, a couple things here, First, I wanted to say, just to clarify myself, when I said I don't want people voting twice, you can't vote twice from the same IP address on our polls. What I really meant is that I don't need some guy who votes on his toilet, then goes to work and votes on his his terminal at work, and then asks his buddy, oh, hey, I'm so pissed at Bowles, I want to vote a third time at lunch on your, you know. So,
you know that happens.
So that's what I'm talking about. First, I got to go back to Main Conduit, that you don't think the Glazers reached talk to Tom Brady. If I'm Joel Glazer, I don't want to hear Tom Brady's opinion from Jason Light. I'm texting Tom Brady and saying, hey, can you take a call for 30 minutes between 10 and noon? What works for you? And you talk to Tom Brady and say, what do you think's going on? I mean, I don't know why you'd go through Jason Light to get Tom Brady's opinion on the coaching staff. I don't know. I don't see that. But that's just me. Bowles in New York, Ira, he had an 18-man coaching staff. That was his staff when he started with the Jets. 18. I think the Bucs are at 30-something. Massive coaching staff. Casey Rogers was his defensive coordinator. So he's got his right-hand defensive guy. On offense, Bowles had 3 offensive coordinators in 4 years. There is no offensive coaching tree from Todd Bowles. It's safe to say he didn't know what he was doing with building the offense there. Firing coaches, fired his offensive line coach, consistently was overhauling the offensive coaching staff. Who is going to say, Todd, I'll coach offense with you when he's on a hot seat? What big name is going to come in and be his offensive coordinator? I don't see any chance of that. He's got to win. I don't think there's any excuses that are going to be made for him. You have a quality coaching staff. A lot of these guys you worked with before. You got Tom Brady. If you can't win, then you're not a winner, and it's okay. We'll pay you, and you know, you'll go to the list of fired coaches, and we'll get another one.
It would be unprecedentedly for the Glazers to make a move after 1 year. Unprecedented.
It would be. Yeah. It would be, Ira, but it's also unprecedented to lose with Tom Brady in a division that may be the worst collection of quarterbacks and head coaches from the start of the season that we've ever seen. So that would be unprecedented.
I can't argue with that, Steve. I can't argue with that.
It's just frustrating times, Ira. Frustrating times. Are you going to be out there early? Do I have to get a wake-up call for you when we're all watching the game together at Big Storm Brewery, Bucks in Germany, 9:30 kickoff, special breakfast menu? Do I have to get a cart for you? What's the deal?
Well, I'll say this, Steve. 9 a.m. is a little bit early for my bay beer, Lee. It's a little early, 9 a.m., but I'm going to give it a try. Now, Steve, here's my natural question. Is the menu going to be in German? I'm not going to know what the hell to order. I might order and get, you know, some raw pickles or something when I want eggs and bacon. So, Steve, on our next podcast later this week, you'll have the breakfast menu, and I expect you to be very explicit about it, because I want to know exactly what the hell I'm ordering.
Yeah, that's November 13th, Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Beautiful covered outdoor patio where we'll be watching the game indoors as well. Fun times, hopefully good times. I don't know. It's just scary with this game coming up. But we're going to talk about the game later in the week. We'll be back. Sage has a lot to do. We'll be looking.
Yeah, real quick before sign off. Breaking news. I want Ira's reaction on this. It's not Bucks related, but breaking news. I was like, where you were in history. Like, where were you when Reagan was shot? And where were you when the space shuttle blew up? This is where were you when Daniel Snyder announced he's selling the Redskins.
Did that just happen, Lee?
I just saw it on Twitter. He's hired Bank of America to conduct the search for a new buyer.
Wow. Lee, that tells me that Jerry Jones, his chief ally and powerful Hall of Famer, Jerry Jones turned on him. Jerry Jones could no longer save Snyder. I was right here doing a podcast when that happened. Steve, I'll go out on this note, Steve. I was in Cleveland visiting our son and his girlfriend and her daughter. And on Monday night, we went out trick-or-treating in a Cleveland neighborhood. We did. You know, she was in a vampire outfit and she went up to one door and knocked on it. I forgot the name of the street. Knocked on the door. The guy came out, gave her a couple of Snickers, looked at me and said, "Love the podcast. Love the podcast."
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? All right, Sage, get out of here, man.